Hello, everyone. You're listening to Guerrilla Radio, a companion to the Guerrilla History Podcast. I'm Shedda, your host, and a member of Guerrilla History's Partisan Brigade. Today, I'm joined here by Janine and Thauda from the Palestinian Youth Movement, who are currently working on a campaign for the urgent and immediate release of the Palestinian political prisoner, Walid Daqa. Walid Daqa is a 62-year-old Palestinian writer, intellectual, and organizer who has been incarcerated in the Zionist prison since 1986. He's been detained for over 37 years now for his resistance. Just last year, he was diagnosed with myelofibrosis, which is a rare form of bone marrow cancer. Despite his rapid decline in health, the Zionist regime has refused to release him or provide him access to urgent, life-saving medical care. The Zionist regime is killing Walid Daqa in an act of deliberate medical negligence. So, I'm going to let my two guests introduce themselves and some of the work that they do.
I guess I can start. My name is Janine. I'm a member of PYM Britain. And we've been around for over a year now, trying to build the PYM branch in Britain and hopefully into Europe more broadly as well. And as well as being a member and organizer of PYM, I'm also a PhD candidate at the European Center for Palestine Studies.
Hi, everyone. My name is Thauda. I'm part of the Palestinian Youth Mint, LA, Orange County, Inland Empire chapter. I've been part of the organization for a few years now. And a lot of the work that we tend to do is really based around confronting Zionism here broadly in LA and making sure that we're, you know, engaging our youth and also politicizing them and engaging them in anything that could potentially like broaden their horizons.
So what's interesting about today's episode is Janine is in Britain, Thauda is in LA, and I'm also in the Palestinian Youth Movement and I'm in Toronto. So it's like an embodiment of the transnational character of our organization. I think that's really cool. So the Walid Daqa campaign is a campaign that emerges out of a larger prisoner struggle. So for those who don't know the history or who are coming across the prisoner struggle for the first time, could you give us an overview of the history of the movement, the role it has played in resisting British and Zionist colonization, and in resisting imperialism?
Yeah, so I can start. I mean, or I can speak to this question. Prisoners have often been the forefront of resistance to Zionism. This is historical, and they are the compass of our struggle. This is kind of a slogan or reality that is repeated in the homeland and also in diaspora. And it's really important for me personally, as I'm sitting here in Britain, to also reflect on kind of the history of the Palestinian prisoners movement and, you know, the role that the British Mandate played in, you know, setting up a lot of these prisons that are still operating today under Zionist control. And so the Palestinian prisoner centrality struggle actually has a long history that goes back before the colonization of Palestine in 1948. It goes back to 1930 and even earlier. And there's a quite famous, well-known story from 1930 of British police executing three resistance fighters in Aqaba prison. And the story now is immortalized in song generation after generation. It's quite a popular song that Palestinians sing and teach teach their children and generations. And during the British Mandate, which lasted from 1920 until 1948, and especially during the 1936 to 39 Great Arab Revolt, where we saw increased resistance and increased political action taken by Palestinians and Arabs more broadly, actually, imprisonment was a regular experience. And the British regularly incarcerated Palestinians, especially those who resisted, and in the process built an entire prison infrastructure that has now been inherited by the Zionist entity, and they continue to maintain this incarceration of Palestinian prisoners to try and stifle Palestinian resistance.
So I understand, just to build off of that, that administrative detention, which is a systematic policy of arbitrary imprisonment where the Zionist state detains Palestinians and incarcerates them without charge or trial, for an indefinite period, actually dates back to the British Mandate.
Could you speak more on imprisonment as a colonial tactic?
Yeah, definitely. So incarceration is a Zionist strategy to isolate Palestinian freedom fighters and their descendants from the rest of Palestinian society, as well to basically attempt and to crush any kind of Palestinian resistance and energy that may come from it. And this is why we see that our leaders are largely targeted by the Zionist carceral system. As the Palestinian prisoners are in confrontation daily with the Zionist entity, every single facet of life becomes a battle for dignity. So like food, water, clothing, healthcare, and so much more. And we can see this in the case of Walid Daqqa, which we're going to get to in a bit later in more detail. But in the recent years, one of the key issues that the prisoner movement has really mobilized around has been administration detention. So under administration detention, Palestinians aren't allowed to stand trial. They don't really know what they're being held under. They don't know what their charges are. And the Israeli occupation military has been using this procedure to hold Palestinians prisoners indefinitely based on some sort of secret information that neither the detainee knows nor their lawyer. And administration detention is subject to be repeated and indefinite for renewal, which we're seeing with Walid and many other prisoners as well. The frequency of the use of administration detention kind of fluctuated throughout the Zionist entity's colonial project. But we can see that it has been steadily rising since the outbreak of the Second Intifada in September 2000, as well as after the War on Gaza in 2014 and after October 2015 as well. And it's been used as a means of collective punishment for Palestinians who speak critically and oppose the occupation and like kind of just resist in any way that they can. And whenever Palestinians rise up to resist or they become more politically active, the Israeli authorities use administration detention to arrest a large number of Palestinians as, again, a collective punishment. And administrative detention actually began under the British rule in Palestine, like Jeannie was speaking earlier. And we can see that these colonial experiences have been transported from Ireland and South Africa, and it was adopted by Zionists into law as soon as they came into power in 1948.
So now with the history that helps situate things more clearly, could you tell us about Walid Daqqa, who he is, and why PYM has taken on this campaign specifically?
Yeah, so Walid Daqqa, as was mentioned earlier, is a Palestinian writer and organizer who has been imprisoned by Israel since 1986 for his resistance. And as of right now, he is the longest held prisoner, Palestinian political prisoner in the Zionist administration detention. So Walid Daqqa has been detained for almost 37 years now, and he's been denied the right to have a family, to raise his own daughter, to see his dying parents, to live life in any way that he can, really. And he was diagnosed last year with myelofibrosis, which is a rare form of a bone marrow cancer that disrupts the body's normal production of cells. And the Zionist entity has been refusing to release him or give him any kind of access to medical care. And because of this, he is dying of medical negligence at the hands of the occupation, especially like as we speak. But despite this, Walid Daqqa's spirit hasn't been stifled by the occupation. He has been a role model and continues to be a role model for many prisoners coming in and out of prison. And he is considered a leader of the prisoners' movement. So in 2020, Daqqa's wife, Sana Salama, gave birth to their daughter, Milad, who was conceived through Daqqa's liberated sperm that was smuggled out of the Zionist prison. Like we were saying earlier, like Walid Daqqa's persistence in becoming a father reminds us that every facet of life, even the right to conceive, to have a family, becomes a battle for dignity with the Zionist prisons. Daqqa's persistence also exemplifies the steadfastness and persistence of Palestinian prisoners in resisting the Zionist entity, even from behind bars, and just the Palestinian people themselves. So Walid's case is a representative struggle, and he kind of is an embodiment of the Palestinian spirit. And we obviously stand with those who have been detained for defending the land, and we demand everyone's immediate release. All political prisoners need to be released like ASAP. And Daqqa's resilience reminds us of the failures of the Israeli prisons in the deterring of a Palestinian revolutionary consciousness as well.
Yeah, and just to add to what Thora said, I think it's also important to note that, you know, Walid Daqqa's case is in a lot of ways not exceptional. You know, Israel's or the Zionist entity's denial of necessary medical treatment to Walid Daqqa is an illegal practice that's regularly used to kill Palestinian prisoners. So in December 2022, The Zionist entity killed Palestinian leader Nasser Abu Ahmed in prison by refusing to provide the necessary medical treatment for his cancer. And he had cancer for many years, and he was refused treatment. And just this May 2023, so a couple of months ago now, Palestinian leader Khadr Adnan was martyred in prison as a result of Israel's deliberate Zionist entity's deliberate medical negligence. And so we're seeing this like trend of, you know, the Zionist entity killing Palestinian leaders in prison. And this campaign is particularly urgent because we don't want this precedent to be set of Israel murdering imprisoned Palestinian leaders. We don't want this to become, you know, normalized as, you know, a normal state of affairs by the Zionist entity. And so this is kind of why this campaign is so urgent.
So a lot of the things, so what we've done so far in our campaign, so we're having, PYM is having an international week of action across all PYM chapters. This is being in North America as well as in Britain. And we're calling on our communities to stand alongside the resistance and to mobilize, to pressure, to demand Waneed's release. This week of action has happening, so it started July 7th. So from July 7th to July 15th. And a petition has been created for individuals and organizations to sign onto to place pressure on international institutions to participate, and to as well place pressure on the Zionist entity to comply with our demands. And we're doing this by doing major outreach as well. So mass emailing, we're calling others to join the campaign through organizing their own action during the International Week of Action, as well as just talking about Waleed Daqqa's case, like educating the masses. A lot of people, unfortunately, and of course this is done on purpose, don't know who he is, what his case is, and how, again, this embodies all of the Palestinian political prisoner experience. And also sharing information through social media, as well as just with your community members, and asking local partners to share these things on their social, do mass emailing, do as much outreach as they can. And to help out with this, PYM has created a toolkit for others to view and to use as a resource for them to plan their own action. So the toolkit kind of explains like the campaign tactics, what's the main point of the campaign, the petition, the key messaging, for any kind of actions you may plan or anything that you're going to be posting online or even emailing. And I said the demands earlier, but just to emphasize the demands for, of course, all prisoners and Waleed Daqqa in this case, but our three demands for this campaign is the immediate release of Waleed Daqqa, providing him with urgent life-saving medical care, and also granting his family visitation rights.
So for the toolkit, the petition and all, we've mentioned it in the description of the podcast. We're going to put it on socials, and we'll also talk about more about how people can get involved near the end. So as PYM members or as Palestinians in the diaspora, what would you say that what is our role in not just the prisoners movement, but in the national struggle more broadly?
Yeah, so like Janine was saying earlier, political prisoners are the compass of our struggle, and they are at the forefront of resistance to Zionism and imperialism as well. So for this specific reason, we center the prisoner struggle in our national liberation movement, and we fight along their side in any way that we can. A big part of PYM's role in the diaspora is to organize, to mobilize, and politicize our communities. Just like the homeland in the diaspora, we're affected by Zionism as well. We have not only the ability, but we have the right and responsibility to confront Zionism while living in the belly of the beast. And we do this basically by mobilizing in different ways. We have the responsibility to our homeland, but we also have the responsibility to our people to resist the occupation, regardless of where we reside. It really doesn't matter how far you are. Zionism is everywhere. And you're able to, you know, mobilize against it as well. And you know, being in the diaspora, unfortunately, it's really easy to feel hopeless when you're so far away from things, especially when you're on social media and you're constantly seeing these things that are happening in Palestine. And sometimes you might feel helpless because you think that, like, just because I'm sharing this, like, what does this do? These feelings of isolations and hopelessness are unfortunately done purposely by our occupiers to discourage us and to demoralize us from fighting for the freedom of our homeland and our people. Like, they're counting on us, the Zionist entity, the enemy, they are counting on us to forget the younger generation. They expected our parents to be in exile and for us to completely not learn anything and not carry anything on. So they're counting on us, and they're doing this on purpose to make us feel alone and not have any kind of like energy to be able to fight for it. But I can't emphasize this enough when I say every single thing that we do matters, regardless of how little it may seem. So like, even if you just think that you're sharing something on social media, it doesn't make a difference. Like, it does make a difference in the grander scheme. And every single thing we do counts as a step towards liberation and returning, no matter what the city is or what the case is. And like I was saying earlier, like, Zionism is in every single aspect of our society. These institutions are in every single city. We can see this in the police departments. We can see this in nonprofit organizations and in other corporations that are trying to normalize Zionism, as well as provide them for material support to, you know, help out the Zionist state. And the way that we're able to, you know, go along the resistance, like we were saying, is that you can mobilize through many means, whether this be rallies, whether this be like campaigns against surveillance, whether this be like campaigns against the IRA definition, campaigns against like a whitewashed or a colonized version of an ethnic studies program that doesn't include the true history of Palestine, as well as other occupied and colonized peoples. And I mean, there's so many things that we can talk about, but we see this campaign as an extension of all the other work that we do of like fighting for the freedom of our people.
Yeah. And I think like another thing to add as well is like, that another important role that we play in diaspora or in exile is this idea of internationalizing the popular cradle. So for those who might not know, the popular cradle, we understand the popular cradle to kind of work as the organ of our struggle by conceptualizing resistance as both a normal and necessary state of being, and creating a resistance-enabling environment in which the popular masses financially, socially, and politically sustain the resistance and readily accept the consequences of supporting armed struggle against Zionist settler colonialism. And, you know, unfortunately, we have seen in the diaspora, like the popular cradle or like the politics of the Palestinian street not being transferred into the diaspora. And what we have seen in diaspora is like a, you know, human rights-based framework, like solidarity framework, bring the primary lens through which Palestine is viewed. And so a large part of our work as PYM is to internationalize the popular cradle and reorient the politics of the diaspora to better reflect the politics of the Palestinian street. And you know, to really raise popular consciousness around the prisoner struggle is a key part of that. And, you know, fight for the freedom of our prisoners using tools that we have at our disposal from outside the homeland. And, you know, more recently, you know, since May 2021, the Unity Uprisings, we saw the unity of all fronts approach being adopted by Palestinians in the homeland. And, you know, in the most, one of the most recent confrontations in the last kind of 6 months, we saw people rising up across historic Palestine, and even resistance being, you know, enacted from Lebanon and from Syria. And, you know, we see ourselves as part of this unity of all fronts approach. When we say unity of all fronts, this includes people who are living in exile like we are. And so, similar to the resistance fighters in Palestine, when we fight here through organizing the diaspora, we're engaging in another front of the struggle. And that's really important for us to remember and to conceptualize and to raise popular consciousness amongst our communities around, you know, around that concept, this idea that, you know, we're not separate from the homeland, we're an extension of the Palestinian struggle. And we have the right, and not just the right, but also an obligation to resist against 75 years of violent occupation and colonization of our land, and for the kind of future that we want to build.
Yeah, and one more thing that I want to add about like our role as youth. So something that's really important to consider is that historically youth have played a really powerful part and significant role in driving our movement forward. The youth were unfortunately stripped of their ability to continue driving the struggle forward because of the Oslo process, which kind of like disseminated grassroots organizations and Palestinian institutions. But in spite of Oslo, it's our duty to make sure that the enemy remembers that the youth have not forgotten, and we will continue driving the struggle forward generation after generation until total liberation. We have a duty to our homeland. It's not just our role to stand by, but we have to actively participate in our struggle. And actually, as of right now, like, we are seeing the youth in Palestine leading the liberation struggle. Our resistance fighters in Jenin who drove the occupation forces out of the Jenin refugee camp are all in the youth. It's places like Jenin and Nablus where the youth are taking their role and they are lighting the path of resistance for us and continuing the fight as much as they can.
So you mentioned this a little bit, Thauda, about hopelessness. So especially in online spaces, there tends to be this sense of hopelessness or defeatism or even victimhood that festers within diasporic communities in moments of struggle. How would you suggest helping counter that? Or are there any, you know, things that you would say that you've learned through organizing in PYM that has helped you combat that?
Yeah, I mean, I think Thauda did touch on this and I can expand on it a little bit. I feel like I understand why there's a sense of hopelessness. I feel like in this age of like, you know, activism or organizing being seen as like, you know, posting on social media or like retweeting or like, I don't know, like sharing an Instagram infographic, like it is really easy to feel alone. And we really need to realize that the only way that we can counter hopelessness is to organize, you know, like through, like you mentioned at the beginning, Shada, like the fact that like I'm in Britain, you're in Canada, Thauda's in the US, the fact that like PYM is a transnational movement, the fact that we see ourselves as an extension of the struggle, all of these things like really reinforce this importance of like connectedness, that we're not alone. And you can only, you know, enact that through organizing. And so what we're doing in PYM is building a mass movement for our collective liberation. In order to do this, we need Palestinian, Arab, and joint struggle communities to get involved in any way that they can, whether it's joining your local PYM chapter, joining other Palestinian organizations, if you are in the US, joining your SJP, if you're in Britain, joining your PALSOC, I forget what the word is, the name for them in Canada is, but I know they have a different acronym. But there are so many avenues in which, you know, you can get involved in the Palestinian Liberation Movement. We all have such an important part to play. We all need to like really realize how connected we all are. And without building these transnational connections, there's no way we can build the critical mass that's necessary for our collective liberation.
So in Canada, I think we have SJPs, we have UWSFPRs, and we also have SIAs. So like we have all of those across the world.
Yeah.
Into Canada. So then, like reflecting on this or looking at this, or even when we're learning it, what do you say that the prisoners movement, the struggle, teaches us as Palestinians in exile, as youth, as students, as educators, as organizers, or those in the Palestinian solidarity scene?
Yeah, I mean, there are three main lessons that the Palestinian prisoners movement teaches us. The first one is unity. And I kind of spoke to this a little bit previously when we're talking about, you know, this idea of like connectedness. But to get kind of more into the specifics of it, prisons are a site of unity, you know, where prisons are a site where unity triumphs over factionalism. And, you know, the prisoners and the prisoners' struggle always remind the street in times of division that unity is the only answer to Zionist imposed political and geographical fragmentation. You know, like we are facing the enemy who is attempting to politically, geographically, psychologically even fragment us. And prisoners and the prisoners' movement continues to be a unified site of struggle. And to give like a very kind of tangible example of this, when a cadre is interred, imprisoned, they immediately enter this new socio-political organism that is the prison. And seniority in the prisoners' movement is based on experience and revolutionary potential. And so when a leader of a faction enters a prison, it doesn't matter that they belong to a different faction. Actually, like if you are more junior in your separate faction, you still kind of answer to that leader. You still are led by this leader of a different faction. And what this means is that, you know, in times of severe divisions on the streets, in the Palestinian street and even in diaspora, the prisoners' movement has come out and you know, actively demanded that the unity that they enact in prisons be reflected in the street. And so really prisoners are such a site of unity, and we have so much to learn about the importance of unity in our struggle. The second key knowledge, the second key lesson is this idea of knowledge. You know, the Palestinian prisoners turn the prison pretty much inside the university, and the prison becomes a site of knowledge production. And, you know, prisoners over the years have developed curricula. They've helped young prisoners complete high school, university degrees, and even like doctorates from inside prison walls, and Palestinian prison literature is a genre in its own right. And, you know, the PYM recently translated The Trinity Fundamentals, which is, you know, a prison novel. And just shamelessly plug it, you can pre-order it now. But Walid Dakhal also is like a really prominent example of this and of the creation of knowledge. You know, he from behind bars, he has succeeded in becoming a novelist and a political analyst with huge renown in the Palestinian community. And a lot of his works have been translated into English. And in perhaps one of his most famous books, Searing of the Consciousness, he really kind of dissects the entities. Strategies for elimination of the Palestinian people through his experience of prisons, and really kind of extrapolates his experience from within prison to the Palestinian population, again, like building on this idea of unity and the importance of unity. And I think the third lesson that the prisoners movement teaches us is this idea of internationalism. Leaders often pen letters of camaraderie and solidarity with causes elsewhere in the world. And in Palestine, just to give a kind of a more specific example, political prisoners, the struggle of political prisoners has been characterized by the practice of hunger strikes. So Khadr Adnan actually was in the middle of one of many hunger strikes when he ascended to martyrdom. And this has been, we've seen this since 67 specifically. Palestinian prisoners have engaged in hunger strike as a means to resist. And we see the practice of hunger strike in other liberation movements. You know, I'm talking here from Britain, and, you know, in the Irish liberation struggle and the martyrdom of Bobby Sands is something that we often remember as, a really prominent example of hunger strike, and how our liberation movements have used hunger strike as a form of resistance. And I think, like, to speak more broadly about what the Irish struggle has taught us and the parallels that exist, the Irish struggle really has taught us that even though the prison is imagined by the occupiers to be the end of political power and influence of the prisoner, that even within the austerity of prison, we can still produce, prisoners can still produce the most inspiring acts of rebellion. You know, when the weapons of resistance are stripped from us, when the traditional weapons of resistance are stripped from us, our bodies become a front. Our bodies become a mechanism through which we can fight for the liberation of our homeland. And so, yeah, internationalism and these lessons that Palestinian prisoners have learned from multiple other struggles, including the Irish struggle, which I spoke about, is, you know, another key lesson that we can take from the Palestinian prisoners movement.
I like the plug-in of the book. I'll also link the book for those interested in pre-ordering. I would highly, highly suggest it. So you both spoke about the things that PYM is doing in the campaign. Could we just reiterate about the specific ways that people can get involved, help support the campaign, and where they would find, you know, the toolkit and the petition?
Yeah, definitely. So ways that they can kind of like help out and share as well is that, so in PYM Instagram page, if there's a link of the bio to the campaign, and you're able to sign on, but you're also able to share it with others. So definitely encourage you to sign, share with your family members, share with your community members. Like what was said earlier, do as much outreach as you can. And then another way that you can also help out is sharing kind of PYM's infographics on socials. And again, family members, emailing to really get his case out. And again, to push as much pressure as you can. PYM has various socials, which is really amazing. One of the main ones that we definitely use is Instagram. So it's at the Palestinian Youth Movement, just like straight and simple. And that's where the link is for the campaign is in the bio. And we have other things for like Twitter as well as Facebook that you'll be able to find on our link tree as well.
Yeah. And so like, as was mentioned, we're also like in the middle right now of our week of action. And so one of the things that we'll be launching in the next couple of days is a mass email campaign. So the same campaign targets that were addressed in the petition, they haven't responded to us or taken action like we have demanded in the petition. And so we have decided to escalate the action. And so there'll be a mass email campaign link that also we'll can share in the description of this podcast. And essentially just click a button
and it autofills the text for you. You don't have to do any writing. You don't have to copy paste anything. And you can just send the email to the key targets. And we're hoping for 2,000 is our goal. So we're hoping that by flooding inboxes with 2,000 emails from people of consciousness, we can see some action taken. And more than that, like, we really want to encourage people to organize locally. You know, like, I think, you know, sending a mass email is a really important low barrier ask, but for people that, you know, are willing and have the time and the energy to kind of engage more, you know, we thought I mentioned the toolkit. So we encourage you to have a look at the toolkit, have a look at some of the examples of actions that we outline there, and organize actions in your local area if there isn't a PYM action that's organized in your local area. And yeah, I mean, we just had the Britain action, the London action last week, and there's a couple of other like key partners that are planning other actions across Britain during this week. So it's been really amazing to see so far. I think New York City and Montreal have also had their actions. It's been really amazing to see like already the transnational aspects of the campaign coming to fruition. And there's more actions planned next week. I don't know, Thoda, if you'd like to speak to the LA action.
Yeah, absolutely. So Southern California is having our action on Saturday on July 15th at 12:30 p.m. Again, you can see PYM's Instagram page to make sure that you have everything correctly, as well as if you haven't seen something already or haven't heard anything, like PYM is definitely posting the things that are happening in your area. So if you're looking for an action to engage in, definitely follow through with that. But we're calling out for all of Southern California to meet at the Zionist Consulate in Westwood in Los Angeles at 12:30 p.m. to, again, place pressure on these Zionist entities to comply with our demands of freeing Waleed. So if you are living outside of the LA Orange County range or Inland Empire range and you're living in San Diego, because again, we are making this like a Southern California thing, on our Instagram page, we have like a link for the LA protest. So if you are in San Diego and you were in need of a ride or you would like to help out with rides, you can click on this link and we'll be able to provide some kind of resources for you to help you get up there. But, you know, tell your friends, tell your family, like, come out as much as you can, obviously. We said this so many, we said the word organize and mobilize so many times. This is definitely like your chance to be getting involved, as well as like speaking to PYM members if you're interested in joining or maybe trying to find something in your locale. Like, can't emphasize this enough. Like, we talk about the youth being a part of our role and doing what they're supposed to be doing. This is definitely one of the things that you're supposed to be doing, is like coming out to these things and engaging. So yeah, July 15th at the Zionist Consulate in LA, 12:30 p.m. Hopefully we will see many, many people there. So
hopefully the action turns out incredible. Thank you both so much, Athika Manafi, for your time. I will make sure to link every single link in our podcast, on Twitter as well, and on Instagram. Be sure to follow all the PYM socials. And thank you again.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Plexiglass and some styrofoam. You want it more than a model home. Every week we plan our escape. I fuck with autumn for the changes. My family is the foliage, the branches for the nameless. My roots as deep as holiest. I console the mothers who saw the streets as fathers, to raise a wild few who ended up amongst the scholars. Yeah, that's why I'm praying for our daughters. So they can lead us through these waters. Cause when mama's proud, she's the grace that we charter. Ambition is akin to intuition. Saturdays, with your mind on empty, spirit on extra, body on me. Won't buy what the soul can't see. Won't touch what the heart can't read. Waiting for a cold case of basics. They just wanna see if we'll make it. Same answers, new faces. Circles round these places. Plexiglass and some styrofoam.